Join us as we continue to worship our God. Let's sing this out. The weapon may be formed. The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. And when the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. No, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory.
Do again. There's no prison know that you can save all things are possible. The darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. Oh God of revival, let hope arise. This death is overcome. You've already won. Oh God of revival, rose in victory, and now you're seated
forever on the throne.
So why should my heart fear what you defeated? I will trust in you alone, 'cause there's no prison wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move. All things are possible. There's no broken body you can't raise, no soul that you can't save. All things are possible. The darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. Oh God, I pray. Hope arise, this death is overcome. You've already won. God of revival, God of revival. Come awaken the people, come awaken the city. Oh God of revival, pour it out. Pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. I hear the chains hit the ground. Oh God of revival, pour it out. Pour it out.
Come awaken your people. Come awaken your city. Oh God of revival, pour it out. Pour it out. Pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. I hear the chains hit the ground. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Come awaken your people, come awaken your city. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out.
Revival.
women become in an atmosphere of security. Men become in an atmosphere of honor, because we cannot reach our full potential without each other.
You're not pursuing your wife as the treasure she is with your whole heart, man. You are missing out. Your wife needs and deserves your whole heart.
Husbands are our treasure too. Whatever we put our effort to, whatever we give our time, our resources to, that's going to become the treasure in our life.
You can experience your freedom. You can experience forgiveness that is not of this world. You're going to experience it in His time for His glory. But in the meantime, don't miss it.
God bless you, everyone, and welcome. Thanks for joining us for worship today. We want to thank our worship team for ministering this morning. We hope that you're safe today, and we're very glad that we can still connect via technology. If we haven't met yet, I'm Pastor Nick, and I'm the associate pastor here at Harvest Time. This morning, we're going to be reading from John chapter 1. I want to get you ready for that. But before we look into the Word of the Lord today, let me share a couple of quick announcements with you. We're very excited that the EXO Marriage Conference is coming up on Friday the 19th and Saturday the 20th. This is a wonderful simulcast event that we host every year. It's great for both married and engaged couples. And if you're a serious dating couple, it'd be great for you also. You can sign up for EXO on our website at htchurch.com. Just click the link up at the top that says tickets and signups. You can also call the office for more information. Something else that's very important, we have a water baptism coming up on Sunday the 21st, just 2 weeks from today. If you haven't been baptized in water since becoming a believer in Jesus, we strongly encourage you to visit our website and sign today. Next Sunday, there's going to be a brief class to help you prepare. My wife, Patty, will be teaching the water baptism class next Sunday at 10:30 in the reception room, which is right across the hall from the sanctuary. We encourage you to follow the Lord in this important step of obedience and faith. Thank you for your faithful giving to the work of the Lord, and thank you for honoring the Lord with all of your giving today. Jesus encourages us to give in His word. He says, "Give, and it shall be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together," Jesus said, "and running over, people will pour into your lap." That's a good word of promise from a good God who has committed Himself to meet our needs. We're not together physically today, but we invite you to give online, and you can do that anytime. Just visit our site at htchurch.com, and when you go there, click the giving link at the top of the homepage to get started. Some people like to give by text, and we can display information on your screen for you to show you how to give that way as well. We very much appreciate your faithfulness in giving this week. Okay, if you have your Bible or your Bible app, please come over with me to the Gospel of John, John's Gospel, chapter 1. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 35. The Bible says, "Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, 'What do you seek?' They said to him, 'Rabbi,' which is to say, when translated, 'teacher,' 'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day." Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, come and see. Amen. We thank God for the gift of His word today. And I want to share with you this morning a message entitled, Come and See. Come and See. As we look into the Word today, we've prepared a handout that you can use to follow along and take notes if you like. You can download that handout from the chat. Also, at the conclusion of our service today, we're going to be sharing in communion. And so you may wish to take a moment right now and just get ready to receive communion with us. Prepare some juice and some bread. Now, since the beginning of this year, Pastor Glenn's been sharing about the matchless life of Jesus. Over the last few weeks, we started to explore the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. And today we're seeing how Jesus called his first five disciples. As soon as Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness where he spent 40 days fasting. During that time, the devil came to Jesus with a series of temptations, and that's an extraordinary portion of Scripture in itself, but we won't have time to look into that this morning. But in the passage we read today, Jesus has now returned from the desert, and he's walking by the place where John the Baptist was preaching. Here at the beginning of John's gospel, there's an important series of days that the writer marks out for us. This was the first week in Jesus' public ministry, and it was a busy one. On the first day, John the Baptist was interrogated by the religious establishment. On the second day, Jesus returned from the wilderness. And on that day, John proclaimed that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In the text we've read today, it's now day number three, and Jesus is about to begin his public ministry. Once again, John the Baptist identifies him as the Lamb of God. But this time, something happens. Two of John's disciples leave John, and they begin to follow Jesus, albeit at a distance. One of these disciples was Andrew. Most people believe the other one was John, not John the Baptist, but the John who wrote the gospel. John and Andrew were interested in Jesus, and so they followed him. Now, as Jesus turned around to face them, we hear the Lord speaking for the first time in the Gospel of John. In fact, this is the first recorded saying that we have from Jesus to any of his disciples, so it's something that we should take special note of. Friends, this is powerful. What Jesus says to John and Andrew is what I believe he says to everybody who encounters him. Jesus always comes to us asking us this question of questions. What do you seek? Jesus still asks people today, what is it that you're really looking for? What is your life about? And what do you want it to be about? What do you seek? They respond with what I think is the best possible answer. Rabbi, where are you staying? In other words, Jesus, we just want to be wherever you are. Now, I'm sure that in that moment, Andrew and John were simply asking for an invitation to stay with Jesus. And yet, there is a wonderful spiritual illustration in this conversation, because that's really the best answer that we can give. When Jesus asks us what we're looking for, our best possible answer is, Lord Jesus, we want to be with you. In response to their question, Jesus invites John and Andrew to join him, and he still gives people that same invitation today. Come and see. Are you curious about Jesus? Do you want God to change your life? Today, Jesus is saying, come and see. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Learn how good it can be to know the living God. Here at Harvest Time, I believe the wind of God is blowing afresh. It seems that the Holy Spirit is speaking to hearts, and he's calling us to be ready for a season of harvest. People are looking for hope, and we know the hope giver. People are looking for life, and you and I know the Prince of Life. Maybe you too have been developing a sense that multitudes are going to be pressing into this place, wanting to meet Jesus Christ, wanting to learn about him. And in a season like this, we need to pray that God would send out laborers into his harvest field. Once again, we need to take seriously our responsibility to share the gospel with others. Let me give you a simple word that I think can really set you free from some guilt you might have been carrying. Do you know that not everyone is called to be an evangelist? Not everyone is called to be an evangelist. What do I mean by that? Well, simply this. Not everyone will have an ongoing ministry of sharing the gospel with people. You know, some believers have that calling, but many others do not. Your calling may be different, and your gifts may lie elsewhere. However, while not every Christian is called to be an evangelist, every Christian is called to evangelize. Not every believer has a gift of evangelism, but all Christians should share their faith in Christ, just like all Christians should pray and give and read God's word. In other words, sharing your faith is simply part of being a Christian. We are all called to share Jesus with those around us. And in order for us to bring in the great harvest of souls God wants to give us, each one of us will need to share the love of Christ with our neighbor. You know, in the great revivals of history, the whole church had a passion to reach people for Jesus. Sharing the gospel isn't the job of pastors and missionaries only. It's a privilege that belongs to the entire body of Christ. In the passage we read today, did you notice only two of the first five followers of Jesus started following him because of a preacher? Those five men met Jesus in a few different ways. John and Andrew met Jesus through the ministry of preaching, right? John the Baptist pointed them to Jesus. Peter met Jesus through the invitation of a relative. As for Philip, well, it may look like Jesus just broke into his life unexpectedly, but it seems like Philip's heart was prepared by studying God's word. Somewhere along the way, it's clear to me, somebody taught Philip what God had said about the coming Messiah. And even though Nathanael was clearly a seeker, it was a friend who invited him to meet Jesus so Jesus could seal the deal. I pray that God would use our church and use our whole church to reach people. We need the wind of the Spirit to send us to people who have receptive hearts. They're out there, you know, people like Philip and Nathanael. There are people out there right now who are ready to respond when you and I tell them, come and see. How can we extend that invitation, come and see, to the people that God is putting in my life? How can we be productive in this new season of harvest that God's about to send to us? You know, the topic of sharing our faith is a big topic, and I believe you're going to hear a lot more about it in this year. But perhaps the greatest principle in evangelism is not to learn techniques at all, really. Rather, we should simply learn to magnify Christ. We need to learn once again to point people to Jesus. And as I look at John chapter 1, I find three wonderful descriptions of Jesus. Each one of them reveals for us a helpful way that we can point people to him, point them to our beautiful Savior. Let's look at them together this morning. The first one is this: point them to the Nazarene. Point them to the Nazarene. People need to meet Jesus, the Nazarene, the one appointed to give them hope. In verse 45 of John chapter 1, we read this: Philip found Nathanael and he said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." You see, Jesus was known as Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth today is a significant city in Israel. Not so in the time of Jesus. Nazareth was so insignificant that it is not even mentioned in the Old Testament. When Nathanael heard that Jesus was from Nazareth, he was in utter disbelief. Nevertheless, because Jesus grew up in Nazareth, the first Christians were often called Nazarenes. You know, even today in the Hebrew language, Christians are called Nozrim or Nazarenes. Nazareth wasn't mentioned by the prophets, and yet the Bible contains a great mystery. There's a great mystery about this in the scripture. The name of Nazarene was a prophesied name. Let's learn a little Hebrew this morning. You know, we're going to take just 1 minute and do what Pastor Glenn likes to call high theology. We're going to do some high theology for just a minute. In Hebrew, the word for Nazarene is Notzri. The person that you and I know as Jesus of Nazareth was known during his life on earth as Yeshua HaNotzri. In Hebrew, that little word ha is how you say the. But you know, remarkably in Hebrew, you wrote the word Nazarene the same way that you wrote the word for a branch. The word for a branch is netzer. In ancient Hebrew, the custom was that you only wrote the consonants of a word. They didn't write the vowels. And I am sure glad that we don't do that in English. And everybody with a lot of vowels in their name said amen. But in case I'm not being clear, take a look at your Bible and just imagine how hard it would be to read it if all the vowels were taken out of the words. You would probably still be able to piece it together, but it would take a little bit of work. And if I were reading the word for Nazarene and the word for branch, they would look exactly the same because they have the exact same consonants. Church, what God created here is the greatest play on words. It's the greatest pun, if you will, of all time. You see, the Bible did prophesy that there would be a man called the Nazarene because there was a man called the branch. And the branch is the Jewish Messiah who comes up from the family of Jesse, the father of King David. Messiah, he grows out of David's family that was cut down like a tree. And this is what the prophet Isaiah says about this man called the branch in Isaiah chapter 11. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Jesus is the Nazarene, and if I were reading it in Hebrew, Jesus is also the branch. And I want to point people to Jesus, the Nazarene, Jesus, the branch. Look at what Isaiah said, and you'll see that Jesus, the branch, is appointed by God to give people the hope that they need. You know, in a world of confusion, we can point them to this man, Jesus, who sums up all wisdom. We can point them to someone who has understanding, someone who knows what to do in troubled times, someone who knows them intimately and cares about them, someone who can be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus sums up all good counsel. In a day and an age when bad advice and bad decisions are way more common than common sense, we can point people to the one who can set them on the path to a fruitful life. When people need guidance in life, you know, you may not have all the answers they need, but if you know Jesus, you know the source of all good counsel, and you can point people to him. It also says there that Jesus is filled with power and might. In these times, pastors are meeting so many people who've lost their strength. I'm sure that you are too. People today are worn down, they're worn out, and they're just plain worn. I want to point them to the branch of the Lord. I want to point them to the Savior who can clothe people with might, with fresh strength to endure. You know, it's true what Pastor Glenn likes to say, that Jesus can give us every kind of help we need. It's right there in Isaiah. Wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and the fear of the Lord are with Jesus. And knowing that, that gives us hope. It gives us a solid hope that I can share to other people. God declares Jesus to be this anointed branch. You know, it's a remarkable thing. When Jesus was crucified, they placed that sign above his head, written out in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, and it read, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. But guess what? As you've just learned today in your mini Hebrew lesson, that Hebrew writing that said Jesus of Nazareth could also have been read to say Jesus the branch. You know, it must have made the Lord's enemies even angrier when they realized that. Even at his death, God was still testifying through that sign as to who Jesus really was. This is my chosen one. This is the branch of the Lord appointed to give you hope. How can we point people to our beautiful Savior? Well, let's point them to Jesus the Nazarene. Another way we point people to Jesus is this: point them to the Christ. Point them to the Christ. People need to meet Jesus the Christ, the one appointed to give them victory. Beginning in verse 40, we read this. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. The Hebrew word Messiah means anointed one. In the time of Jesus, the Jews were expecting the arrival of the Messiah, the great king who would conquer the enemies of Israel. You see, in that culture, kings were anointed with oil. It was a symbol that the Holy Spirit had come upon them to empower them for their mission. And because of this, a Jewish king was called the Anointed One, the Messiah. And in the Greek language, the word for anointed one is Christos. That's where we get our English word Christ. It may be an old joke, but Christ was not Jesus' last name. Christ is a title, not a name. He is Jesus the Christ. And you and I need to point people to Jesus the Christ. Jesus has been appointed not only to bring people hope, but he's been appointed to bring victory to the oppressed. 1 Samuel 2 says, "The Lord executes judgment to the ends of the earth. He will strengthen his king and exalt the power of his Messiah." Church, he does that for you. Psalm 2 says, "Why do the heathens rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his Messiah." And guess what? Then it says that God who sits in the heavens shall laugh. Church, he does that for you. He's a victorious warrior for you, riding out for the salvation of his people. The Apostle Peter says, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." You know, church, that's what Jesus was anointed to do. God made him to be Messiah so he could do those things for you and me. Release the Spirit and the power of God into your life. Bring the good things that God has promised into your life and break the devil's oppression. He was appointed by God to bring you the victory. Do you need a healing this morning? Jesus is the Son of Righteousness, risen with healing in his wings. Are there troublesome situations in your life and things that are ready to die? Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Has your life become just a little bit more unstable over these past 12 months? Well, the Word of God says Jesus is your rock. Are you afraid that circumstances will overcome you? My Bible says he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In all these things, Paul the Apostle tells us, in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Point people to the God-man. Point them to the unconquerable Christ. How can we point people to this beautiful Savior? First, point them to the Nazarene, appointed to give them hope. And point them to the Christ who's been appointed to give them victory. And finally, this, number three, point them to the Lamb. Point them to the Lamb. People need to meet Jesus, the Lamb of God, appointed to forgive their sins. Verse 36 says, "And looking at Jesus as he walked, he," John the Baptist, "said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.'" Now, if you were brought up with Christian beliefs, you've probably heard that expression, Lamb of God. But what does it mean to say that Jesus is the Lamb of God? Three quick things here, and then we'll be done. First, John calls Jesus a lamb. This is highly significant. The picture of a lamb has to do with the idea of sacrifice. When John mentioned a lamb, the Jewish people would have thought of the Passover when God delivered the Israelites from Egypt. The Passover lamb kept the people safe from death and judgment. It was a lamb that brought deliverance. When they obeyed God's command to apply the blood of the lamb to their doorposts, it kept them safe from the angel of judgment. The sacrifice of that lamb meant that you were about to leave the land of slavery and go to the land of promise. That lamb was a prophetic picture of Jesus. The Bible specifically says that Jesus is our Passover. It says, Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. So that's one facet of what Jesus did as the Lamb of God, but there's more to it than that. You see, I believe that John the Baptist was thinking about God's special sacrifice, one that we read about in the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. Here is where the Holy Spirit fully shows to you and me God's Lamb dying for people. About 700 years before Christ, Isaiah the prophet had remarkable visions of the suffering of the Messiah. He gives us an incredible prophecy of the death of Jesus. Listen as I read what Isaiah says, beginning towards the end of Isaiah 52. His face was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, laid on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Amen. God laid all of our sin, all of our iniquity, that's our twisted and deformed character as our character gets warped by sin. God laid all of that upon that lamb. If you read further, you'll see that Isaiah explains to us that this was all God's doing. This was all God's own plan. The soul of that suffering man became the offering for your sins and mine. Jesus was the Lamb of God, the one who took the punishment for our sins. This shows the human race its greatest problem and its greatest need. You know, friends, John didn't say, behold the teacher. He didn't even say, behold the example. Of course, we know that those things are true of Jesus. He is the greatest teacher. He is the greatest example. But those things were not our greatest need. God knew that our problem was that we were separated from him. He knew that our problem was that we were dead in trespasses and sins. And so God sent a lamb. He sent Jesus, his son. And so John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God. We need to echo what John the Baptist said. Point them. Point people to the Lamb. Tell people that there is life in a look at the crucified one. Second, John says that Jesus is God's appointed lamb. Not only is Jesus a lamb, he's God's lamb. What do I mean by that? Jesus is the remedy that God has appointed for us. I see no mention here of the possibility of self-improvement, nor is there any possibility that you and I might be able to offer something else that would satisfy God. No, only a lamb would do. Only the cross would do. The great British preacher Charles Spurgeon said, "The world's one and only remedy is the cross." God, in his love, was willing to send his only son to that cross. Finally, John says that Jesus takes away the sin of the world. If Jesus' death has paid for sin, then now there's a decision that you need to make. If you're willing to accept the benefit of that sacrifice on your behalf, the sacrifice of the cross, then the doorway to life will be opened to you. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And God extends that offer of eternal life to you today through the blood of the Lamb. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Church, we need to point people to the Lamb, the one who's been appointed to bring us forgiveness of sins. And we need to point people to the Christ, the one who's been appointed to give us victory in life. And we need to point them to the branch, the Nazarene, the one whom God appointed to give hope to people. As we move deeper into 2021, may all of God's people learn to extend the gracious invitation of Jesus to the people that we meet. Jesus says, "Come and see." Amen. Just before we share in our time of communion today, I want to encourage those of you who may not know Jesus in a personal way. Can I encourage you to receive this word of the Lord this morning? That's my invitation to you today, to come and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. If you're not sure today that you have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, if you've never known this experience, if you've never known this forgiveness that we're talking about, then I want to give you an opportunity right now to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. Jesus said, listen, "He whom the Son sets free is free indeed." He can set you free today if you turn from your sins and call upon him. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And I want to lead you in a prayer to receive Jesus, and I hope you'll pray along with me wherever you may be watching today. Will you pray with me? Repeat this with me if you would. Say, "Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I need your forgiveness, and I need your abundant life. Jesus, I confess you as Lord. I turn from my own ways now. I believe you died for me. I believe God raised you from the dead for me. Forgive my sins. Give me the gift of eternal life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Set me free and help me to live for you. Amen and amen." If you prayed that way today for the first time, please let us know. Send us an email. You can write to this address. Write to us at office@htchurch.com, office@htchurch.com, and tell us that you prayed this morning to receive Jesus Christ. We would love to connect with you and talk with you about what to do next and how you can grow in your relationship with God. Amen. For our final act of worship today, we're going to celebrate communion together. If you have your serving of communion, let me invite you to please get that ready. Just before we celebrate communion together, Caleb's going to lead us in that song that says, "God, you're so good."
You're so good to me.
Thank you, Jesus. You're so good to your people. Let's get ready to share communion now. The Apostle Paul wrote this to the church at Corinth. He said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Let's pray now. And if you have a need, I want to encourage you to look to Jesus in simple faith. Remember the word of the Lord this morning. God gave Jesus to us. He sent Jesus to you to provide you with forgiveness, to bring you victory, and to provide you with hope. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your body that was broken for us. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus, your Son. And Jesus, thank you for willingly coming to ransom a people. Jesus, we read in your word, it was prophesied of you. You said, "See, I am coming. Sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me." And Jesus, out of love, you willingly laid down that body for your people. Thank you, Jesus, that by your stripes we are healed. As we eat now, Lord, we receive by faith healing, Lord, in all of our members, God, healing in every system of our body, strength to serve you and strength for life. Lord, I pray that also you would create, help us to maintain unity in the body of Christ. And Jesus, we thank you for the shedding of your blood. Lord, as we've just read in your word, all of us like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one of us to his own way. But the Father laid upon you, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Thank you for the cleansing that comes through the blood of Jesus. And I just want to encourage everyone, quote this scripture even with me. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So thank you, Lord, for the wholeness that comes through your broken body, through your shed blood. Lord, would you release, Lord, as we receive healing and wholeness, Lord, in our bodies, in our emotions, in our relationships. Thank you, Lord. It's so good to belong to you. It's so good to have been adopted, to have the adoption of daughters and sons because of the work of the cross. We receive now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive the bread together, and then after you've had the bread, you can receive the cup as well. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just lift your hand right where you are. Just give him thanks. Thank you, Jesus, for your great love displayed on the cross. A love you continue to display for your people every day, Lord. Jesus, we give you worship. We give you honor. We give you reverence. We give you praise, Lord. We love you so much. We're a grateful people, Lord. Help us to grow in our gratitude, in our love for you, to love you with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you so much, everybody, for worshiping with us this morning. God bless you. We pray that you have a wonderful week in Jesus. As we go, Caleb's going to lead us in that chorus again. Have a great week in Jesus.
God.